of life expresses in one form or another. And we study the form in order to learn about life. We consider the planets, the sun, the moon, and the stars, each with its own glory. We marvel at the grandeur of the mountaintops and of the simplicity of the valleys. We search the bottom of the ocean just to discover its treasure. In our time of study, we include all of nature, the trees, the birds, the flowers, and the animals. And then there is the human being to think about. Each has its own beauty and splendor to contemplate. Each has its own identity, its own demonstration, something that is unique unto itself. What I have just described is one life with a variety of expression. In our search for information, we consider every aspect of life, discovering the characteristics and the traits assigned to each particular manifestation. And we notice that each has its own quality, its own form, as opposed to another. We would never mistake the moon for the stars, or the mountain for the ocean. Each is unique in its own self, in its own appearance, compatible and in agreement with its nature, its species, and its origin. We call its expression its fruit, and we wonder about its fruit. When we consider the sun, we notice that it has its own light, one that differs from the light of the moon and the stars. Even though their fruitage is light, it is not the same light. Each shines in a way that is peculiar to itself. And we wonder, what gives each its distinctive identity? And what brings it into being? Well, I thought about this and I reasoned in this way. Since each is an individualized expression of the one life, then they must have the same source. It must be that source, the one life, which allows them to express in an individual way. Fruitage requires a seed, a beginning of some kind to bring it into its full potential. Some impulse that sets it in motion. This impulse, this urge, is life itself, requiring expression. The function of a creator is to express, and the purpose of a creation is to be expressed. You cannot have one without the other. Life is contained in the seed. And when thy seed is planted in the soil of receptivity, the fruitage will manifest in a way that is compatible with the purpose and the intent that put it in motion. Now, thinking in this way reminds me of what happens when we plant our gardens. Well, first of all, we begin with a seed. A seed containing what it is that we want to experience. If we want to have carrots, we plant carrot seeds. If we want radishes, we plant radish seeds. Please notice we are the gardener, meaning that we are the one doing the planting. Most seeds arrive in a package. Now, if we leave the package on the shelf in the garage, nothing will happen. If we hold that package in our hand, visualizing the carrots and the radishes and the turnips and everything else we wanted, nothing will happen. To bring forth fruitage, seeds must be planted. They must be planted in an environment conducive to their development. So we take those seeds out of the bag and we place them in the ground, allowing the rain, the sun, air, and temperature to nurture and assist. We know there is a process involved. At some point, the seed breaks open and it takes root, sending shoots up through the ground, eventually becoming a plant or a tree, bearing flowers or fruit. Let us go back to the life of the seed. Can anyone actually see it do its work? If we were somehow able to observe what goes on in the ground, exactly what would we see? We might see the seed take root, but we have no way of seeing what causes it to take root. There is an invisible process of life that does the work. We see the result and we enjoy it, but not the activity that does the work. Now, I think that most of us can relate to what I have presented so far about fruitage. Some of you may have found it interesting. Others may consider it informative. But our real questions about life and our concerns have to do with us. The Bible tells us that we are known by our fruits. Having established that fruitage is the demonstration, we wonder about our fruitage because we are concerned about our demonstration. Oftentimes, as individuals, we consider our fruitage to be our appearance. It seems reasonable. After all, we are showing forth what we have accepted for ourselves. You might say our own light, so to speak. But remember, even though the flower and the fruit are the end result, the true worker is the invisible activity that allows them to manifest. Without this activity, there will be no flower and there will be no fruit. But until we understand this, we may be misled and confused by the appearance, calling it our demonstration, considering it to be our fruit. And then we judge ourselves and others by the clothes we wear. We judge according to occupation, wealth, and social standing. Looking to the outer display, we do not discern the qualities behind the demonstration. And the one thing we must consider is the quality of the seed idea we are planting. Because remember, we will reap what we sow. We plant, we sow in consciousness. If our intent and purpose is to be true to life, then what we entertain as thought and acceptance will be true to the divine idea. Now, if our intent and purpose is to judge by that outer display of appearance, then our fruitage will reflect our acceptance. What is not true of life may look good on the outside, but its fruit is bitter and not at all what we want to experience. In Matthew 7:17, we are told, "Every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit." Matthew 7, it also speaks to us about heaven. Now remember, heaven is the dwelling place of the source of that one life. Heaven can be entered only through that narrow gate. The highway to hell, it is broad and its gate is wide enough for all of those multitudes who choose its easy way. But the gateway to life, it is small and the road is narrow and only a few ever find it. Many will come claiming they know the way, and they ask us to follow. And herein lies the warning in Matthew 7. Beware of false teachers who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are wolves, and they will tear you apart. You can detect them by the way they act, just like you identify a tree by its fruit. You must never confuse grapefruits with thorn bushes or figs with thistles. Do not confuse them. Know them by their works and their deeds. Are they true to life or not? Now, when it comes to learning, we are told to ask, and you will be given what you ask for. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened. The activity of asking, seeking, and knocking is personal. It is inward work. When we work in this way, we are consulting the true teacher, the one of inner being. Now, that one that is referred to as that false teacher does not know about spiritual work, choosing the lesser road of experience, claiming it to be the way. And we may be tempted. There are decisions to be made, for we are the one who seeks after a teacher, choosing what we will listen to. Each of us determines the path we wish to follow. Is it the narrow road leading to realization, or that broad highway that entices with glitter and glamour? Again, the chapter in Matthew is talking about entering the kingdom of heaven, entering into a spiritual habitation. Now, I do think it's important to point out that there may be times when the false teachers sound religious, and the human judgment may be misled by their presentation. They quote scripture, all according to their spin and interpretation. But again, the Bible cautions that not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. They may refer to me as Lord, but still won't get to heaven. For the decisive question is whether they obey my Father in heaven. Many will say, Lord, we told others about you, and we used your name to cast out demons, and then we did many great miracles. But I reply, go away, you have never been mine. Apparently, the measuring stick of acceptance is to hear the sayings of God and follow them. Now, really, this is the message for us. There will be those who preach the gospel according to the letter of the law, but in their hearts, they do not know God. Their fruit, their demonstration, is shallow, based on a human idea of heaven, praising a concept of God they entertain in their thoughts, one that is separate and apart from their being. Now, I believe that some of these individuals are sincere. They believe in God, and they pray to God with the hope that one day they will get to heaven. But in the meantime, they are content to go about their daily lives as human beings, struggling with the opposites that come with a belief in two powers. And if they attempt to influence others, inviting them into their way of acceptance, we may count them among the false teachers, those ones that misguide and deceive. Believing in God is not enough. God must be an experience, The Bible is quite clear. Not all who say, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. And this is where it becomes personal. We will be known by our fruits. We are the gardener, planting seeds in the fertile soil of consciousness. What we plant, we nurture and cultivate. And in due time, yes, we will have our demonstration. We will be known by our thoughts, our deeds, and our actions. Will others want to eat from our tree of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding? What about our fruit? Will it be bitter, or will it be sweet? Will we be like that man who built his house upon a rock, on a firm foundation of truth and spiritual certainty? We are told that the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Or will we be like that man who built his house upon the sand, in a shallow place of understanding? And then what happened? The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And yes, it fell, and great was the fall of it. Jesus called the man who built his house upon a rock wise. And he called the man who built his house upon the sand foolish. And regardless of which man we are, we will have a demonstration compatible with that state of consciousness. Yes, this is how we will be known. Will we be counted among the foolish or among the wise? I think that we can all relate to this on a personal basis. When we stay true to our spiritual work, we maintain our house built on solid ground. What comes to us as the equivalent of rain, wind, and flood are the false concepts of opposites raining down upon us, asking that we accept them as reality. They appear in the form of health or sickness, poverty or abundance, life or death. They come to us as broken relationships, as disappointments and uncertainty. These are the storms that belong to the world. Now, that house built on the sand, the one with no foundation, is a shallow place susceptible to the waves of the world. And when those storms of humanhood appear on its doorstep, and they will, it is broken and defeated. We can also apply this practice to just about everything we do. Everything we contemplate, and everything we consider. When we build our lives on a foundation of truth, we are following the teachings of Jesus. Jesus taught from a direct inner knowledge of Scripture, and he spoke with authority. Jesus had the demonstration of his conviction. His fruitage included healing the sick and raising the dead. He showed us that straight and narrow path by walking it himself. When we follow the teachings of Jesus, we stay true to our time of spiritual study and practice, trying to attain the mind that was in Christ Jesus. On the other hand, those who do not follow the teachings of Jesus, they build their lives on the shifting promises and directions given by those false teachers. They accept doctrines and instructions based on misguided information. Perhaps some are similar to what the scribes and the Pharisees may have taught, in times past. But I always remember about the teacher. The true teacher is within us, meaning we do not have to go outside us to be taught and to learn. The work of maintaining our house on solid ground requires something of us. Our house of consciousness is the fertile soil of acceptance. So again, we consider our seeds carefully. We understand that life is in the seed. The divine idea is already planted in us. So our role is to cultivate and develop our awareness of it. We hear the message, and it is up to us to obey it. But remember, we were given free will, meaning we can either accept it or reject it. Consciously knowing the truth of us brings the activity of the invisible presence into our lives. It brings the fruit known as peace, harmony, joy, and love to our attention. They already exist in us, awaiting our recognition and our acceptance. Again, I say we must consciously establish us in His presence, hear His message, and accept that invitation. Come unto me, and I will give you my kingdom. So we may ask the question, do we think that we can do this? Are we at this point in time capable of the spiritual work of planting and sowing in the fertile soil of the kingdom? We understand we are known by our fruit, and we would like our fruit to be of the Spirit. Are we prepared to reach for the high calling of Christ? Well, if we attempt to do the work as human beings, then I would remind us that human beings cannot do spiritual work. Now, it is true an individual, as a human being, is capable of study and reading about these things. But until the kingdom reveals itself in us, it will not be our experience. If the Spirit of God has not yet touched us, we will not be conscious of the indwelling presence, and we will continue to have existence in the far country. We must open our consciousness and feel what dwells within. Remember that warning given in the book of Matthew. Just saying, Lord, Lord, will not grant us entry into heaven, a spiritual habitation. So please, let us not forget about that holy right seed, the one planted in us. It is this divine presence within us that does the work. It is this presence that urges us to lift our eyes on high. It urges us to not go to our own understanding, but to be taught by Him. It whispers, I will renew your understanding. I will restore all those years you traveled in the far country. This morning we have the opportunity to consciously accept the invitation to come up higher, to turn within and be taught by Him. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, we enter a time of meditation, alone with God, in our soul's awareness. Planted in each one of us is the divine idea, complete in God's tender care. The truth of our being is eternal life, no beginning and no end to the reality of us. Let us rest in the knowledge that God is here. Beside Him, there is none else. As we give recognition, we are stirred in remembrance of that divine idea awaiting our attention. Turn to me, I turn to you. It's the invitation to consciously enter the Father's house and commune with Him. Speak, Lord, I am listening. It is my pleasure to give you my kingdom. All that I have is yours. This morning, let us accept our divine heritage to live and move as spiritual beings, expressing the fruit of the Spirit as every good thing. As we leave the sanctuary this morning, let us go in peace. Be still and know is the way. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within, acknowledge Him, so that He may live your consciousness and give you His peace. Amen.